Your Honor, it's a privilege to be here with you today, and I will try and follow up some of the questions my colleague has asked, and perhaps explore a few new ones myself. I'm fascinated by the combination of the civil law system and the common law system, and wondered how this is applied in discussing the burden of proof that a state must have in proving the defendant guilty. Are they the same, or?
Yeah, burden of proof, of course, in criminal cases, I think it's beyond reasonable doubt. Mm-hmm. That is the standard that we always apply here.
Is there a lesser standard in the civil law system, or do they agree with the common law system?
I'm not very familiar with the civil law system.
But you know which one you apply.
No, it is generally doubt. Beyond reasonable doubt. So that is the standard way of burden of proof here.
And have you had a case where your panel has found that a case has not been proven beyond a reasonable doubt?
Yeah, in a charge, in an indictment, there are so many charges.
Yes.
So some charges we acquit them, and some charges we convict. And we acquit on the basis that those charges have not been proved beyond reasonable doubt.
And how often does this happen?
That happens in every case, I think. It's very rarely that you can get the conviction on all the charges that the prosecutor has presented. Maybe at least one or two cases, they also don't press sometimes.
The prosecutors are the same in our countries, that they overcharge.
Yeah, they upload all the charges, yes. And send. If it is not proved, it is not proved. So it's not convicted.
I was interested in
going. Not only proved, it has to be proved beyond reasonable doubt.
Yes, yes. I was interested in going over your CV to see that you'd taken a course in criminology in the United States. Was that before you became a judge?
Oh, yes, this was in 1980s, mm-hmm. 87.
And what led to that interest?
At that time I was doing criminal law. I was doing the appeals for the Attorney General. So, since it was criminal law, they nominated two of us to go there, and we went and followed it.
And it was worthwhile?
Yeah, yeah. And the interesting aspect was that we had a chance to look into the Muslim law aspect also.
Let me ask some general questions.
When I say Muslim, I mean Islamic law. Really.
Yes, yes. Some general questions now. One of the things we're trying to do in this project is to compile information that will be relevant to people 25, 50, even 100 years from now, and preserve it in a way that gives some reality to what's occurring here. We're trying to, I think, capture the humanity of the judges who sit, as well as the court personnel. So it's something more than just the writing in a book. Now, along that line, I'd be interested in what you feel have been the most satisfying parts of your job here.
It's a little difficult to answer because when you don't get any satisfaction by listening to horrible stories.
Yes, of course. Of course.
So it's witnesses come and say various things. So only satisfaction is if you think that you have done justice, that is the satisfaction that you get after the case. At least if you can look into your heart and say, well, I have done what I thought was correct.
Have you had any cases where you had a question about that?
No, I mean, in every case, as I said earlier, every charge we look into, every count we go through and take a decision according to evidence.
If you were to say something to, say, a tribunal that may have occurred 50 years from now involving somewhat the same facts, do you have advice that you would give them at this point?
I My only wish is this sort of thing should not happen. Genocide.
Yes.
So no tribunal should be established for that purpose. But I don't think that they should encourage this type of thing to happen in the world.
Do you think by having a tribunal it discourages this type of activity?
That, of course, I am unable to answer. That has to be felt by the people who are there.